Welcome to another legal talk on eRadio with myself, Jan, and Han and Han attorneys. Joining us from the firm today is Marilyn Duplessis. It's nice to catch up with you again, Marilyn. How's it going?
It's feeling like December 2023, Jan.
Oh.
but we should always be grateful for that. It's very nice to be joining you again and the listeners. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We're dealing with load shedding as we do here in South Africa, and that's exactly what we're talking about today. And the question actually is...
The elephant in the room.
Yeah, the big, big elephant in the room. And the question we asked today in Legal Talk is, can I sue Eskom? That's the big question. Now, it really feels like we want to sue them. I mean, they're running our lives at the moment. Everything we do nowadays is around Eskom and that schedule and using the Eskom's a Push app. The Eskom's a Push app almost turns into a Bible nowadays that we go and live accordingly to. So it's hectic and it's part of our lives now, and there's not much we can do. And with the whole shakeup at Eskom, it's not looking any better. So the question is, with all the frustration that we feel, is there anything we can actually do to Eskom, Marilyn?
Okay, thank you. So yes, the elephant in the room is Eskom, and everybody's attention is on Eskom. And it is actually quite unfortunate, because when you kind of pierce the veil and look behind the curtains, unfortunately, it's not Eskom that's sitting behind the curtains. So maybe I should just give an example. I know that there's a lot of talk, especially this morning I read an article of one of our former DA representatives who was also bringing on criminal charges to kind of uncover all the corruption talks. And a person thinks that these corruption talks are all aimed against the writer or whoever. And I think what I'll do today is just kind of stand and give comments, and so that everybody can understand exactly how Eskom fits in and what rights you have and who those rights are aimed against and who these rights must be enforced against. Mm. So when we hear Eskom, we hear electricity.
And or lack
we
thereof.
Hear Eskom. Yes, so but we kind of we focus on Eskom, and when in terms of taking Eskom on or enforcing or suing Eskom, a person must go and consider, you know, what your rights are that you want to enforce. And there's like I've said to you, there's the examples where everybody's talking about the corruption within Eskom and those rights. And then there's also examples that we see on the news. There's a chicken farmer that took on Eskom, and you know, we want to know, can we now take on Eskom? So it should be now, from the beginning, it should be separated. There's two rights when it comes to Eskom. Eskom is one, supplies energy, electricity, so the body generates electricity. But it's not the custodian of electricity, and it's also not the regulator of electricity. And that's the problem that you face with. So you've got two kinds of situations where Eskom will come into the picture. It will be where Eskom supplies, or let me say, I'll call it the what, would be the electricity supply, generating of electricity, and the how, which would be how electricity is supplied. And those two should be separated from one another. So in the first instance, the what is Eskom generates electricity. And I'll deal with that, but I think I'll quickly deal with the how first. So the how is when you enter into services for electricity, you'll typically do so through a municipality, and the municipality will come and they will come and set up connections and apparatus in which the supply is given. And In let's say 90% of the cases, you'll deal with a municipality, but there are also instances where you'll directly contract with Eskom. And this is the situation with a chicken farmer. You know, in the midst of the load shedding, although, you know, it was through the load shedding that he suffered losses, it wasn't the load shedding as such. It was the supply of how the electricity was supplied. So what happened with that farmer was, he had a contract with Eskom, and Eskom had to give him certain apparatus, and this apparatus would then carry the supply through. And what the issue was that the apparatus itself became faulty. And when you have a fault in an apparatus, then you'd have to go to your contractual right, which would say, so Eskom, you have to give me quality apparatus, and if you don't give it to me, you're negligent, and as a result of that apparatus that you've given to me, I've got a claim against you. And that is what the chicken farmer is claiming. He's not claiming on the right to have power supply, but instead of how the supply was given to him. So that, I would say, is the only way that you would have a direct claim against Eskom, and that would only be if you have a direct contract with Eskom, which would be very, very, very seldom. It will be majorly done through municipalities, and I'll explain why. So that is the how. The how is why the chicken farmer took on the Eskom. It was not because of he wanted supply of electricity, but it was how the electricity was given to him. And then now we go to the what. So we all feel like we need electricity. We have a right to electricity. And I shall stop there to say that the Constitution does not give anybody a direct right to electricity, but how it stems through is that in terms of the Constitution, a municipality and parliament and legislature has been created. And one of the functions of local government, which is your municipalities, is that they have to provide electricity. So although Eskom is the elephant in the room, it is not responsible to supply electricity. It is actually the responsibility of the municipalities to provide electricity. So I would say, you know, a lot of the claims are misdirected to Eskom. I mean, you would claim from Eskom, and Eskom will come back to you and say, but I'm bound on my agreement with the municipality. And that is why we find in the court cases that they've started citing the municipalities, and we've heard from the president that, you know, it's not his responsibility, it's not within his functions and his powers. And what he is saying is that in terms of the Constitution, it is the municipality's duties to ensure that that power is supplied. So now, also just to stop on that, it's not just the municipalities. We are looking at the Energy Regulation Act and the Electricity Regulation Act and then the Energy Act. In terms of these, it's quite a joint, I would say, a joint committee, or it's multiple parties that are responsible for this. And this would include NERSA, which is your regulator, the municipalities whose duty it is to provide electricity, and then the minister, who has to ensure that the supply and the security of the supply is there. So at the end of the day, the municipalities are bound, and they have the duty to give electricity, but they don't. They don't have the infrastructure. So they have contracted Eskom, who has the infrastructure, to supply the electricity. And, you know, person thinks, but okay, and this is what Ramaphosa was, our president was saying, is he's saying that we can't give electricity if there's no electricity. And I would then direct that to the power of the minister. It's the minister's duty that has to ensure that there is security of supply. So a very administrative, I know, but at the end of the day, the duty lies between national energy regulator, the municipalities, and the minister to ensure that our electricity and our supply is secure, that it is maintained, and that there's access. Unfortunately, all the limelight has given to Eskom. However, it is my opinion that it is actually the municipalities and your higher government that has to be responsible.
Sure, Marilyn, this is much more complicated than I anticipated. It's not just a question of suing Eskom. You just told us what it's all about. It's not that easy. Yes. But just lastly, before we wrap up, can I throw one more spanner in the works?
Sure.
What if there's a power surge and it damages my equipment or my appliances? Can I sue my municipality?
Okay. So with the power surge, so how that works. Now we're on to the municipality. Let's take the focus onto the municipality.
Yeah.
So the municipality regulates its supply and its infrastructure, etc., through its bylaws. So a person would have to go and check what the bylaws say. And you, once again, you'd have to determine the right that you have. You'd have to go and determine whether the fault was through the infrastructure, was it through the service apparatus, or was it as a result of the power supply. In the majority of cases, and this is now very interesting to note, is that how these people work is the municipality has to access and they have to get a license at NERSA to be able to supply electricity. And as a part of the license conditions, they need to make sure that their infrastructure and their tariffs and their service is aligned with certain policies. If they are not, then you are entitled to either take on the municipality, but the difficulty is that you need to show negligence. You need to show that the municipality was negligent, it did not comply with the standards, etc. So now you have one of two options. Is you either take on the municipality or you approach NERSA, who will then have to deal with the licensing conditions of the municipality. And the nice thing about NERSA is that should it be a matter of public interest, NERSA will have to call a public inquiry and make a decision and either compel the municipality to comply with the conditions of license, or they'll have to remove that license conditions. But yes, and that's obviously now why Hahn and Hahn and electricity consultants are there. I mean, we determine whether or not that right, where the right falls into and who must be taken on.
Okay, that's very, very interesting, Marilyn. And I think that's how we wrap it up for today's legal talk. Thank you so much, as always, for your time and expertise. And we look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for the time.
Are you or your business in trouble and struggling to find a solution? Call Hahn & Hahn Attorneys as we assist clients in finding solutions. We specialize in consumer and food law, commercial and construction law, forensic investigations, and administrative law. Visit hahnlaw.co.za. That's H-A-H-N. We assist clients nationwide. Hahn & Hahn Attorneys, because we care. Don't miss Legal Talk with Hahn & Hahn Attorneys Wednesday mornings at 10 on eRadio.